I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. You can be seated if you'd like. Just leave a quick testimony to the power of prayer. Some of you may know, some of you may not. My son had been unemployed this year for about 6 months. And I told him on several occasions, I said, you know, we're all praying. We're all praying the Lord opens the door so you can get to work. And, you know, a lot of things going against him, election year and COVID and first one thing, something else. So he got a call and he went to work a couple of weeks ago. And he said, you know, Dad, it's kind of a week by week thing, but he said, I'll take whatever I can get. And he said, the guy that has called us out has promised me that he will do everything that he can to feed us. He said, if I can work 2 weeks a month, he said, I can make it. He said, if I can work 3 weeks a month, he said, I'll have money that I can put back for times like before. On Monday or Tuesday, I don't remember which, he texted me and we texted back and forth, and I said something about work, and he said, no work this week. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. I had to go to Westfield this morning to deliver a new truck to a customer. I left here early this morning. I drove up there to the customer's home, went through things with them, got in their trade-in about 11 o'clock this morning, and started the journey back. As I was in the driver's seat, I just very simply said, Lord, I sure would like it. I said, I want you to send him some work. I want you to keep him busy. I want you to show out to him that when we pray, things start to happen. Now, he's a backslider. He understands. That was at 11 o'clock. Quarter to 12, I'm on 70 and my phone rings and it's him. And he said, hey, Pop. He said, I just wanted to call you and tell you. He said, I got a phone call. He started to talk to me. He said, hey, I'll call you back. I got to go. And I said, all right. So about 1 o'clock, he called me at the dealership and he said, well, he said, Dad, you're not going to believe it. He said, this morning, he said, my boss called me at 11 o'clock and said, and he is in the West Virginia, Pennsylvania border, and said, there is a small job that I need you and your man to go to Missouri. And he said, we'll pay you drive time, we'll pay you mileage, we'll pay you per diem for the trip out, the trip back. And he said, it's a couple days work. And he said, he told me to call the supervisor, and he said, I called the supervisor, and he said, we weren't going to leave till in the morning. He said, I called the supervisor out there, and the supervisor said, that's not going to work. He said, I need you here today. And he said, well, I can't be there today, but he said, we can roll out and be there in the morning. He said, you be here in the morning. And I said, well, son, let me tell you something. I said, what time did you get that call? He said, 11 o'clock. I said, well, 11 o'clock this morning. I said, I was driving back from Westfield. And I said, I just was having a little prayer meeting in the car, and I told the Lord to send you some work. And he said, I really appreciate it, Dad. I really appreciate it. So sometimes you just think, you know, you just throw a little prayer out there and you think, well, it maybe, maybe not. But the Lord always shows up. He shows up on time every time. Thank God. If you have your Bibles and you can sit, we're not going to expect you to stand tonight. But we're going to go to Isaiah chapter number 40. And it is a somewhat familiar passage. I don't remember who it was, if it was T.F. Tenney or one of the other great men of God of days gone by that used to say there's no familiar scripture because Jesus can give you something new every time you read it, and that's the truth. But in Isaiah chapter number 40, and we begin to read in verse 28, and God is speaking to Isaiah, and he is penning the words, and Isaiah says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want to talk to you tonight just a few minutes about the everlasting God. The everlasting God. We live in a day and a time. Pastor was talking a little bit about our society in which we live today. And as I watch things and I see things, I see that how this world is going. They are pushing everything to a one world order. They are pushing everything to a moneyless society. They are pushing everything to where that they have complete and total control over you and I, so that we don't think of anything. We don't do anything. We just have to do what we're told. And I was kind of meditating and thinking the other day as I began to read this scripture about the everlasting God. The term everlasting comes from the Chaldean or the Hebrew word to mean forever, always, perpetual, indefinite, or an unending future. We begin to read that scripture, and one of the points that I want to make tonight to us all is the fact that we shouldn't grow weary in our journey. Anthony and I were talking on Sunday, and I so appreciate my son-in-law. I love him dearly. I also told him, I said, if you ever get out of line with Jess, you got to deal with me. And you don't want to deal with me. He said, I probably would not want to deal with you. I said, no, you would not want to have to deal with me. Tell that to every guy that, my youngest, when she started dating, and I tell them, you treat her good, it'll be fine. You treat her bad, you got to deal with me, and you don't want that to happen. And she would tell him, no, you don't want to deal with my dad. You do not want to mess with my dad, because he's crazy. He's psychotic. And we just don't know what'll happen. But we were talking Sunday about the fact that as we look around, we see people that are falling away. They are selling out what they had. They don't see the need to be faithful to the house of God. They no longer feel it's important to be faithful to the standard that they have been brought up with, that they have been told, that they have had conviction over their entire life. They no longer feel that it's important that I am responsible to the man of God. That if the man of God says thus and so, if it is in line with the Holy Ghost, then I need to be in line with the man of God. And we find that people are quickly straying away from the very foundation of what Jesus Christ really is. I remind you of what it tells us in Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. Pastor talked and preached about it a few weeks ago. I'm the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then Paul, in his writings to the Hebrews in the 12th chapter, said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There has to be a stability, and the everlasting God has a stability. And you and I, conversely, must have a stability in our walk with Him. As we serve Him, it needs to be with the same integrity and intensity that we did 20 years ago. I realize that as we grow older, I understand. At 62 years old, I realize that I can't do what I did at 40. Or if I try, I'm going to pay the price. And I don't want to pay that price. I find that I cannot do some of the things that I did before, but I can serve Jesus just like I did 20 years ago. I can continue to be faithful and to walk with Him. The convictions that I had, I continue to hold on to because they were good then and they are still good now. The things that I entrusted to Him 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, I still entrust to Him today. The Apostle Paul wrote and said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. When you and I commit ourselves to Him, Proverbs 3:5 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And in all thy ways, in the 6th verse, seek Him, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. When we commit ourselves to Him, He will not fail us. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There are times that I come home from work and I've had a busy day, not so much physically, but mentally. And I'll sit in my chair and I find my eyelids become heavy and I want to take myself a little nap because I am weary. But with Jesus Christ, He never grows weary. He never grows tired. He doesn't slumber, neither does He sleep. He doesn't become fatigued because of the affairs of life and the things that are going on. He continues to be steadfast and unmovable. As believers, we need to be the same way, believing and knowing. I appreciate, I tell Sister Hill every now and again how much I appreciate her. And if you don't tell her once in a while that you appreciate her, ladies, go up and give her a hug. She may not like it, but give her a hug. Tell her that you appreciate her and don't lie. If you can't tell her that, come down and repent. She does so much, and she is a great first lady, and we need to tell her that we appreciate her, and pastor too. And I tell her, I appreciate your consistency. She always comes in and has a smile. She may have had the worst day of her life, and she comes in with a smile. She may be feeling miserable, and you would never know it because she never lets it on. And I appreciate that about Sister Hill. If I see her out, I know what she looks like. Katie and I were, last week we had went to Edinburgh. And we went to the Outlet Mall. And afterwards, we went into Montana Mike's. I'd never been to one. We went in there and they set us down in an area in the bar area was right there. We sat down and there was a fellow sitting at one of the tables, the high tables. He was sitting there and he was probably, I would guess, my age. And Brother Elliot, his hair was about your color. Not mine, your color. And he had a mustache and a goatee and tank top and shorts. And I could tell that he spent a lot of time outside. And we sat down and Katie and I were talking, and about 3 minutes, he said, y'all are apostolic, aren't you? And Katie said, yes, we are. And he said, I knew it. He said, I'm a backslider. Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad to hear you testify. What are you going to do about it now? And he sat there and he talked to us. He said, I knew by looking at you all what you were. I could tell because there was that difference about you. And as Christians, we need to be readily recognized and understand that we are Christians and that people know that. Brother Elliot, I was telling the church here a while back, my boss knows Ronnie, Brother Elliot Jr., the bigger, smaller one down in Kentucky. And he said, said it was always so funny. He said Ronnie would come to our house to go swimming. He always swam with a T-shirt and blue jeans. I smiled and I said, yeah. He said, something about what you guys believe. I said, yeah, we believe in holiness. And he said, yeah. And he said, he never deviated. He never bought no shorts over. He never took his T-shirt off. Said he would go swimming with all of us. And he said, most time it's just us guys. He said, but he said, I know him. And he said, he's always been that way. And it made an impression on my boss and has the utmost of respect in Brother Elliot because of what he was. And then we got to talking about Becca, and he said, yeah, I know her too. He said, she's something else too. Said she always, said she kind of, he said, I think she went to school with my brothers, if I remember right. And he talked about her and the fact that, how that she was always godly and holy. And he said, now she'd punch your lights out if you got out of line. I said, oh yeah, absolutely she would. I said, her and Ronnie talk about trading punches. And Ronnie said, if I ever get in a fist fight, I hope she's my wingman because she hold her own against anybody. And if this is on tape, Brother Elliot, you know it's true. You told me it. But there was something about the fact that there was consistency that was there. They understood that. And as we begin to look in the day and the age in which we live, people are saying it's not important anymore to do the things. The Bible tells us, seek out the old paths, wherein is the good way. People do not want to continue to walk steadfastly in the faith. They want to have a watered down Jesus. They, as I believe it was Jeremiah wrote, he said, in that day there shall be seven women that shall say, let us be called by thy name, only let us wear our own apparel. And the way that I have always read that scripture was that there will be those in this day and time that say, let me be a Christian, but let me be it on my terms. That's not the way it works. The enemy is working on your mind and my mind and your heart and my heart. And he is continually telling us and working on us to weary us and to wear us out. But I remind you, as we begin to go into the New Testament and we begin to read in the book of Matthew, that Jesus speaks the word and he says, he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. To endure means to go through the hardships, the good times, the bad times, the daylight, the dark, the bright and sunny days, the days where there's storms, the windstorms, the hailstorms, the snowstorms, to go through it all and to continue to move forward and go ahead and continue to go on. He that endureth to the end, hanging on, continuing to go. I remember my mother talking about my dad before he was saved. She said, there were times that I thought, what's the use? And she said, then I would hear the voice of Brother Muncie telling the church. And she said, ultimately, as he was telling the church, he was telling me, be faithful. Do not let up on your prayer life. Do not let up on your faithfulness to Bible study. Do not let up on your faithfulness to come to the house of God. Do not let up on your prayer life and your fasting. Continue to do the things that you did in the beginning. For in so doing, you will find that the hard trials and the troubles won't be near as hard and the troubles won't seem near as big because you're in a place that you realize that he that keepeth Israel doth not slumber nor sleep and that he does not grow weary and he's not tired. And that as Isaiah said a couple of chapters later, that he would pick us up and carry us. He said, I am he that hath made you and created you, and that I will bear you even unto your old age. I am he. You see, when we become weary, what was it that Isaiah wrote and that was reiterated in the book of Acts? This is the rest whereby you may cause the weary to rest. This is where it's at. We find that we rest in Him. Paul writes to the Galatians, he said, be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of living the right way. Don't get tired of continuing to be a witness. I will tell you firsthand, the enemy will come along. People will come along and tell you, what is the point in continuing to do the things that you're doing? There have been times that I have talked to my son and thought, you know, in my mind, I thought, what is the point? It's not registering. It's going in maybe in one ear and coming out the other. It may not even be going in one ear. I don't know. But the Holy Ghost would say, continue to speak the word. Continue to live the life. Continue to tell Him you're praying. Continue to tell Him others are praying. Continue to tell Him there is a God in heaven that sits high, but He looks low, and His dwelling is within the hearts of lives of men and of women, and that He can do what nobody else can do. Don't get tired in doing that, or in being that, or in telling that, or in showing that, or being an example of it. Continue to do it. James writes in the first chapter in the 12th verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Oh my. We don't like that. Oh Lord, bless me. Temptation comes along. What have I done? Why am I getting temptation? It's like praying for patience. Don't pray for patience. Why not? Tribulation worketh patience. I was 16 years old. I was dumb. I was still not very smart, but I was dumb. 16 years old, I started praying for patience. I had more car trouble. I'm going to tell you, Pastor, I had more car trouble than you ever had hair. I mean, it was bad. I had car trouble, something fierce. You had a bunch of hair one time. I did too. And somebody at church, one of the old saints, found out about all my dilemma about 7 or 8 weeks into it. And they said, have you been praying for patience? I said, why, yes. And they shared the scripture with me. And I said, have mercy. Lord, forgive me for that prayer. Let's retract that. I've got all the patience I need. I don't need no more. I'm telling you. And I got through it. But blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When we begin to go through things, and what happens is we are proving our stability in Jesus. But not only that, but He is proving His stability in us. When I am going through things, even as the Scripture has said that He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might, He increases their strength. The Lord, Paul wrote, he said, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. I told you a few weeks ago when I was evangelizing and I had migraines, headaches, something terrible. And I would go and preach and the Lord would give me strength and help me to preach. There were times I would go to the house of God and be so ill, and I would tell the Lord, Lord, You've called me to preach. You've called me to this church. You've called me here to minister. You've gave me a message. Now You have to give me strength. And He would give me the strength that I needed that night to go through it. And then when it was over with, His strength would withdraw and I would be sick. But I could say His strength was made perfect in my weakness. And I began to understand that He was an unfailing God. That when I needed Him the most, He was the one that was going to be there to give me what I needed. When Peter was out walking on the water, and he began to look around and he realized what he was doing. And he began to sink. He had enough presence of mind to realize the only one that can save me is Jesus. And he called out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately took him by the hand and they got to the boat. sometimes the things of life, people, situations, the enemy. I've got to where, you know, President Trump talks about the fake news. Well, about 99.9% of it is fake to me, as far as I'm concerned. I don't listen to it. I don't want to hear it. Well, you're just wanting to be an ostrich. No, I'm just so sick and tired of all the junk and all the lies and all the hypocrisies and all the things that are going on. And I don't know if it was Anthony or who it was the other day said, you know, the thing is that we're going to get to a point that we're going to say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I pray daily for our leaders. I pray that God will give them help and strength and encouragement. But I become weary of hearing all that stuff. Customers come in and they want to talk about it. And it's like, I just want to reach out. I want to be like AT&T. I want to reach out and slap them. You know, AT&T said, reach out and touch someone. Well, that's what I want to do. I want to touch them with the palm of my hand right across the face and tell them, shut up. I don't want to hear it. But I know that's not the thing to do. I'm just being real. I'm telling you. You know, and in my business, that's not a good thing to do. But I grow weary. But yet in the midst of it all, I understand that God has got a plan for it all. And that He is working to do something. He is working to cause people to begin to recognize and realize that either they are going to put their confidence in man, or they are going to put their confidence in Jesus Christ. Solomon, and I believe Pastor talked about this Sunday, said, some men trust in horses, others trust in chariots and riches, but we will trust in the Lord. You see, when you put your confidence and your trust in Jesus Christ, when you begin to lean upon Him, He begins to make everything all right. When we go through the hard places, He is there to go with us. When I feel like that I'm unable to walk any farther, He gives me the strength to continue on. When I feel like that, what's the use? Why am I sacrificing? Why am I doing these things? Why am I not? Because the enemy will tell you, you should enjoy the fruits of your labor and enjoy the things of the world and enjoy doing these kinds of things. But I'm here to tell you that things that are not according to the Word of God and the will of God are not for you and not for me. We need to draw that line and say, I will not give in to those kinds of things, because the unchanging, the unfailing, the unending God that I serve will give me the strength and the joy. For the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. Paul began to write to the Hebrews, and he said that Moses chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, sin has pleasure, but the joy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. His pleasures are forever. Therefore, I will not compromise nor prostitute what I have with Jesus Christ. David begins to write in the 121st Psalm, and he begins to speak the words, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. One of the commentaries on this particular scripture says that when David began to pen those words, I will lift up mine eyes, he was basically saying, I will not continue to look down. I will not continue to look to the ground and look as though I'm defeated. You know, have you ever known anybody that was just always defeated? I think I've told you all, I worked with a guy years ago, Fred. I won't mention his last name. But I worked with Fred, and Fred complained about everything. Everything. His wife had packed his lunch, he'd complain. His wife didn't pack his lunch, he'd complain. If it was 80 outside, it wasn't warm enough. If it was 85, it was too hot. If there was clouds, it was too cloudy. If there was no clouds, it needed clouds. The sun was too hot. If there's no breeze, it's no breeze. I can't stand it. If there was a breeze, it's too windy. It didn't make any difference. He complained about everything. And I finally, one day, I told him, I said, Fred, you'd just dry up and die if you couldn't complain. And he stopped and he looked at me with a bewildered look and stood there for a moment. And he said, you're probably right. I said, there is no probably. I am right. You would just dry up and die if you couldn't complain. And I said, I'd just appreciate it if you'd just shut up for a while. He was quiet for several minutes, and then he started in again. I thought, well, I had a little peace. But the writer, as he said, I will lift up mine eyes, what he was saying was, I am not going to dwell on the things that are down here, but I'm going to look up to where my help comes from. I'm going to lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. And then he said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. When I begin to realize that the unchanging, unfailing God is my help, and that my God made the heavens and the earth. Stop and consider. Scientists say that some of the stars that we see in the sky have burned out 100 gazillion, million, trillion, billion, zillion years ago. But because of the fact that light continues to travel, we have not found yet that the light has been extinguished, but yet they say that that star has gone away. But yet the light still shines. Why? Because when God created it, he said, you're going to shine, and you're going to shine for a period of time. And that's the way it is. And there is no dispute that. When we stop and consider that my help comes from the one that made the frogs and the snakes, which I don't like, and the spiders and the bees and the wasps and the fish and the whales and the tigers and the lions and the elephants and the trees and everything that I see around me that is in nature, when I begin to look at that, that he made it from nothing, it gives me the hope to know that if he did all that from nothing, then I know that he can do anything that I need him to do for me when I need him to do it for me, whether he's got anything or not. He can do it. Pastor mentioned the scripture in the book of Ephesians on Sunday 3:20 that says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding, going past the stated limits, abundantly over and above what I can have, exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us, be praise and glory and honor. When I begin to think about the fact that the God that I serve doesn't grow weary, he doesn't get tired, I don't have to worry about waking him up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's already awake. I don't have to be concerned when I call on his name at 11 o'clock in the morning. Maybe he's taking a mid-morning nap. No, he is right there, ready to answer and hear and move and do what needs to be done. He doesn't grow weary. He made the heaven and the earth. He made everything that I see. Therefore, I look to him that is my help, and he will take care of me. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. My friend, when you begin to look to Jesus in the midst of your troubles and your trials, you may feel like that you're not going to make it. David said, my foot had well nigh slipped until I went to the house of God, and I remembered the end of all things. When I get to the house of God, whether it is here or in my closet of prayer, when I get to that place and I begin to recognize and realize that he has got it all in charge and he has got it all in control, I know that it's going to be all right. My foot is not going to be moved because he is going to establish my foot. David said, he placed my foot upon a rock. He established my goings. Many shall see it and shall hear. He put a praise in my mouth and a song in my lips. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You ever get woke up out of a sleep. And it took you a minute to kind of get your bearings, figure out what was going on. You know, kid come in. Bob. Dad. I just saw a 47-foot monster in my bedroom. And you wake up. You're like, what? Huh? Dude, I'm sleeping. Why you come in here with that foolishness? Jesus is not that way. The Bible says his ear is attent to the cry of the righteous. He is never asleep. When I call on him, I don't have to wake him up. He's already awake. Matter of fact, he's already aware of the situation. Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. But he likes to be asked. My kids, sometimes I do for them, and they'll say, why'd you do that? I said, because I know you needed it. Well, how'd you know? I said, because I'm dad, and dad knows everything. Plain and simple. Just ask me. I'll tell you. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The three Hebrew boys, as they stood there at the fiery furnace. Somebody posted the other day on Facebook. They said, if a lot of these churches today were in the time of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would have done folded a long time ago. And I thought, God have mercy. What a terrible thing to say, but true. But the Lord shall keep you from evil. He'll preserve your soul. And even as the Hebrew boys made the statement, they said, oh, king, we're not careful to answer you. He's the king, so? I serve the king. You're just one of the morons that he's letting have some authority. And know this, king, one way or the other, we're going to get delivered. Now, whether we come out of the fiery furnace walking out or you scoop up our ashes, it don't really matter. Talking about having a faith in an everlasting God. The Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You see, when you preserve something, you keep it. You save it. I started a diet back several months ago, and I no longer eat that kind of stuff. But I used to, I loved getting blackberry preserves and strawberry preserves. I'd eat a piece of toast with a half a bottle of preserves on it because it was good, because it tasted good. Sometimes I'd just dip the spoon in there, take a bite of toast, and dip the spoon in there and get me a bite. Because it was good. And the Lord preserves you and I. Why? Because he wants to take care of us. Because he is not going to allow us to fail or to falter if our trust and our confidence is in him. Revelation, it talks about in the third chapter, it talks about the fact of being faithful, of enduring, of being steadfast, of going through things. And that if we do those things, if we overcome, that we're going to receive a blessing. We're going to receive a crown of life. Our name is not going to be blotted out of the book of life. So in all of it tonight, the bottom line is this. The God that you and I serve, Jesus, he's an everlasting God that will take care of us, that will not fail us, that will not let us down, that will not be caught unprepared or off guard by whatever is going on. But rather, he knows what is happening and he is waiting to prove his power and his authority. So don't be weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in serving him. Don't grow weary in being that faithful servant that you continue to be. Don't change or deviate from the way that you once were, unless it was a sinful way. But but continue to walk according to the dictates and the commands that Christ has placed in your life and in my life, that we may serve Him and be an example, a light in this evil, dark world. Because there are people that are looking for something and someone that is real. People are looking for somebody that has got something that they don't have. And I've heard it. I've heard people say it before. I've had it said to me. I don't know what you have, but I need it. Well, what I have is Jesus. But more importantly, He has me. And therefore, I serve Him because of what He's done for me and what He is doing. God bless you tonight. Let's stand. I appreciate each and every one of you, your faithfulness to the house of God. I don't tell you that. I tell Pastor, I tell Sister Hill occasionally, maybe not enough, but I do tell them because they're my ministry and I want them to know how much I appreciate them. But I do appreciate all of you. I know when I come to church that I'm going to see the majority of you here, and I appreciate that. When I come in, and sometimes I slip in a little late, but when I come in and I start looking at the backs of heads, I say, well, it's good to see them. I'm glad they're here tonight. I'm glad that they made it to the house of God. I'm glad that they're still coming to the house of God. And in so doing, it encourages me. Let's all lift our hands and be dismissed tonight in prayer. Lord Jesus, we're thankful for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thankful for the word of God. Thank you for each and every one that is here tonight. God, I appreciate and am thankful for my ministry, for my pastor and Sister Hill. God, I ask that you would bless this church, bless this assembly. Give us the increase that you have in store for us. Now, Lord, as we would leave here tonight and go to our separate ways, I pray that you would bless, lead, guide, and direct. Bring us back at the appointed time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Real quick, I know he dismissed you. But it was my fault. Sister Graves, I am so sorry. You had your hand up when I asked to get this. Okay. Can you talk a little bit louder? Okay. No, it's all right. Casey. I want people to hear you. So. Casey got moved to Madison 2 weeks ago, and she was coming back to God while she was still here in Owen County. But I got a letter from her today, the most uplifting letter I ever got from her. And she's happy. It's a better place, she said, because it's a minimum security. But she's promising to come back to God. She's doing what she knows. We have a lot more communication with her being down there. We can talk to her every day through texting, basically. But she's God turned her around. He is. She can't wait to get out so she can go to church.
That's wonderful.
Regular church. Yeah, that's another thing.